amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love, the Father's love, is that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the lover of our soul, who is the good shepherd of the sheep, who will take care of you and take care of me when we're going through those rough times of life. And sometimes little sheep seem to wander away. Sheep aren't necessarily very intelligent creatures. Sometimes they wander off the path, and the shepherd has to take the crook and just pull that little sheep up and carry him for a while. And he anoints that little sheep, if he's been wounded or bruised, with some oil. I've heard sometimes that even a leg had to be broken so the sheep would not wander and be carried for a while till they healed. I wonder sometimes when we have those disappointments in our life if God uses them to bring us back to Himself if we wandered off the path. The Father has given us free will. Sometimes, don't you just wonder about that? Wouldn't it be so much easier if we didn't have free will to make those bad decisions? But because God is the creator of the universe, He was not looking for mechanical beings, but creatures who would love Him and give Him glory and honor out of their own free will. And that brings the Father so much joy, in that He has given us decision-making ability, which the animals do not have. They don't see into the future. But we see into the future. We look back at the past and we make value judgments. And some of those judgments have come out of our environment, the way we've been brought up, our religious background or lack of religious background. But the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is always drawing us unto Himself. And the Word tells us that the commandments of God are written on every heart, that man knows when he's breaking God's law, His law of love. Now, we can ignore those things and say it doesn't matter and do what we want to do, but we are left with the guilt, and modern psychology would just help you dispense with that guilt and just accept your humanity, or maybe take some drugs or try to teach you different coping mechanisms to cope with that guilt. But it's only through the forgiveness of sins. It's only when we say, God, I'm sorry. I have made some bad decisions in my life, but I want to make good decisions now. And there's such freedom in that, that we can choose life. We can choose to live a victorious life. We can choose not to be a victim and blame it on God. Have you tried to witness to some people about the love of God and how Jesus died for their sins, and they're angry? And they'll say, God doesn't exist. Because if God were a good God, why are there wars? Why are there famines? Why are there earthquakes? Why are people being killed? Man has free will. Yes, there is an enemy of our soul, loose, the spirit of this world. There are evil beings. There are demonic strongholds. But man has free will to make right choices. And so we bear responsibility. God is a good God, and He loves us. And He's called us to walk the high life, to make positive choices. We know by reading the Word that whatever we sow, we will reap. And many times we do not reap that until later in our life. And then we say, well, what happened? What went wrong? But back in our past, we sowed bad seeds. And it's, oh, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I don't want to reap a bad harvest. I want to reap a good harvest in my life, so forgive me. And the word tells us that as far as the east is from the west, he will remember our sin no longer. Though our sin be as red as scarlet, he will make them as white as snow. That we can have our lives changed, but this only comes when we accept responsibility for the bad decisions we have made in our life. Not hidden them, not rationalized our sin, not justified them because of maybe poverty, having a father who was an alcoholic, a mother who was mentally ill. But we made bad decisions and we cannot blame shift on other people. God can't forgive us because we have not acknowledged our sinfulness. There's something about us, I think it was like Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned and the Father's calling, Adam, Adam, and he's hiding in the bushes. He's trying to take fig leaves and cover himself. And I think that we try to do that. God doesn't see me. I'm under a bushel. He doesn't see me hiding under here. Or else we make excuses. And the Lord wants to set us free, set me free and set you free. And it's only when we acknowledge the fact that we have a problem. An alcoholic is on the way to recovery when he can say, I am an alcoholic. I have a problem. A drug addict. I have a drug problem. The reality comes in. I have committed fornication. I have not kept myself pure. That's reality. I am a liar. The word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have an advocate. We have someone that will intercede for us. As we come into reality and we come into truth, we can go to church every Sunday and think we're a very good person and not even listen to ourselves in our conversation, knowing that we're exaggerating or we're gossiping, that we're hurting other people, because we're going to church and we believe that if we're doing that, we're a nice person or we're a godly people. And we don't even recognize the fact that our sin has put on a new face. It might have even put on a religious face. But we could have condescending attitudes, cause discord among the brethren, be envious, jealous, rude, self-seeking. And it grieves the Father's heart. So I need the Holy Spirit to expose what's in my heart that I might repent. Lord, let me hear the words that I'm speaking. There's almost like a filtering device through our mind that we always notice what somebody else is doing and we can pick up their sins so easily. We're aware of someone else's sin, and yet with ourselves, we have such blind spots we don't even see them. And it really does take the illumination of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to show us our faults. The Word is a mirror to our soul. But I find that I need to run to Jesus, and He is the mirror, because He is the light of life. He is the truth, the life, and the way, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is pure light, and when I run to Him and I throw myself at His feet, and I enter His presence, His light becomes so bright that my darkness shows up. And not to make me feel condemned, not loved, but to show me the truth that I might be set free. God wants to set us free. But first we have to acknowledge the fact that we have a problem.
Give me a voice from my inmost part that cries to you.
Reading from 1 John 2nd chapter. My little children, I am telling you this so that you will stay away from sin. But if you sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is all that is good and who pleases God completely. He is the one who took God's wrath against our sin upon himself and brought us into fellowship with God. And he is the forgiveness for our sins, and not only ours, but all the world's. And how can we be sure that we belong to him? By looking within ourselves, are we really trying to do what he wants us to do? Someone may say, I am a Christian. I am on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him, he is a liar. But those who do what Christ tells them to will learn to love God more and more. That is the way to know whether or not you are a Christian. Anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. And that's calling us out of that self-deception. We should have the fruit of the Spirit operating in our life, and this can only come by abiding in the vine, who is Jesus Christ. It only comes by our relationship with Him. It doesn't come by listening to tapes, and it doesn't even come by trying to be a very good person on our own apart from Christ. It is the engrafted life with God. As our life is engrafted with His, that water of life, the power of the Holy Spirit, becomes activated within our life. And we desire to do what God wants us to do because of that relationship. It's not something we have to do, but it becomes a passion. It's a wanting to, a willing to do, because we feel the powerful love of God working through us. We feel that total acceptance. And so our desire grows more and more to be like Him, to obey, and to allow His love to flow through our lives. But we can only do this as we are grafted into the vine. And we will bear forth fruit. And be not discouraged if you don't see that fruit right away in your life. But persevere. Don't give up. Abide in Christ. Seek His face. The Word tells us to seek the kingdom first. To seek the indwelling Christ and allow Him to live within you. And I have to allow Him to live within me. And it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. It's a daily relationship. Just like a husband and wife, we decide to love each other. Love is a decision. And we see marriages that are just two people living in an armed camp, totally separate lives, lives of quiet desperation. And marriage is to reflect God's love for the church, His love for the bride. So when we see in the natural marriage lived, encapsulated in loneliness and separation. And yet, one could say, legally, this couple, they are still married, but they have no relationship. There is no spiritual relationship between the two. There is no emotional relationship. The only thing that makes them one is a document, a legal paper. God does not want that kind of marriage with His church. He wants an emotional relationship. He wants a spiritual intimacy with His bride. And the bride is made up of the body of Christ. And He's calling His people to Himself. He's calling His beloved to that place of intimacy and love. Away from the world. We all have busy lives, going to work, taking care of children, taking care of loved ones, providing, caretaking. We all have busy lives. But when we seek the kingdom of God first, everything else will go better. Life will go smoother. God will give us favor as we give glory to Him, because He is the eternal one. There's an energy that comes from the Holy Spirit. The Word tells us that if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and dwells in me, He will quicken our mortal body. He helps me with the day, fitting everything in that I need to do and giving me the energy to do those things. And I know that He will do that in your life too. Or you might have experienced this. go with God. Life goes better. It's almost impossible without Him. Rely upon Him. Trust Him. Embrace Him. But He's not looking for performance. He's looking for your heart. And the world is looking to see, are you real? Am I real? Is there something different about your life? Not what I say, but what I do and who I am.
Others may live. How beautiful.
the bride of Christ. The bride normally wears white, symbol of holiness. And how beautiful the color white is. When we go to a wedding, how beautiful the bride looks. I have never seen a bride that wasn't beautiful on her day. There seemed to be an anointing upon her as she made covenant with her husband. Reading from Song of Solomon, 8th chapter, 6th verse, the girl. Seal me in your heart with permanent betrothal, for love is strong as death and jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. It flashes fire, the very flame of Jehovah. Many waters cannot quench the flame of love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man tried to buy it with everything he owned, he could not do it. It's not for sale. And God calls us not to be for sale. That the love that we have for him is a special love. And that acknowledgement from other people will not buy it. Money cannot buy it. Success cannot buy it. Holy unto the Lord. God is a jealous God. And he's seeking a people to be his very own, that he might be glorified in the earth. And what a day that's going to be, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Are you going to be there? I want to be there. Oh, God, prepare my heart. I have to prepare my heart as much as possible, but I really need to lean on the Holy Spirit that I'm ready for that great day when the bridegroom comes. No man knows the hour, but he calls us to be ready, to have our heart with expectant hope every day, every hour, that we're walking in his divine love. It's not going to be a time we can say, wait 10 minutes, give me another 24 hours. It's now. Now is the acceptable time. God loves you with an amazing love. Good night.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.